Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
All right, coming up on the Harbor One Hotline is Gary Washburn of the Boston Globe, Gretchen Fourier on a fabulous Monday. Gary, how you doing? It's you're on with Fourier and Andy Hart today, filling in for Andy Gresh.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
It's going good. So, Gary, I wanted to ask you, did you happen to read the article in the New York Times on Jaylen Brown?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay. So there's a couple quotes in there where he talks about his experience in Boston, and then he mentions that he says that he thinks that his experience in Boston was not as fluid as he thought it would be. How do you think it kind of made me feel that Jaylen Brown is not long for this life as a Celtic? How do you feel Jaylen Brown's relationship is with the Celtics and, more importantly, the city of Boston?
I mean, I think he gives his honest opinion on, I did read something about kind of his assessment of Celtic fans and probably the vitriol he's received through social media and that type of thing. I mean, obviously he's had an interesting year. I mean, obviously he had to, the thing with his association with Kanye West, his association with Kyrie Irving, has drawn a lot of vitriol from some fans, and I'm sure he is probably taking that personally or remember that type of thing. But I think he's kind of pointing to a certain particular fan. I think he pointed out, I didn't read the whole thing, but just excerpts that, you know, just kind of his how – certain fans take it personally and get insulting and only want him to play and don't want him to speak about off the court issues. I think that's what happened anywhere. So I don't think he has a terrible relationship with the city or he's ready to get the heck out of here. But I do think you're asking a man to speak his mind, and he did, right? That's the difference, I think, between I think Jason and Jaylen are close, but I think Jaylen is probably a more critical thinker than Jason is. So, and obviously a New York Times story where he's allowed to kind of just speak on off the court stuff. So I'm not surprised that he said some of those things, but I don't think it's like a toxic relationship or anything like that with the city of Boston. I think he's pointing out probably some of the things he's heard this season after, obviously, remember, if you guys remember, a couple months ago, he didn't immediately break ties with Kanye West. And then he, had kind of a supportive tweet on the Kyrie Irving situation with the Israelites waiting, you know, like kind of picking outside the arena in Barclays Center when his first game back. So I think he's probably referring to that stuff, and he probably remembers some of those things that were said.
Gary, this is admittedly a tough question to answer, I think, but I'm going to ask it to you anyway. What do you think Jaylen Brown's overall motivations are as a professional, as a basketball player? Because he's mentioned in recent weeks, you know, we're all giving things up to fit in this team and play for this team, and we know he has a potential supermax on the horizon with the Celtics, more money here. Does he want to be the alpha somewhere? Would he rather align with Jason Tatum for a decade and build a Celtic dynasty? Does he want to start, as he mentions in some of these quotes, you know, businesses? Does he want to go to a place like we saw KD go to the Warriors for business reasons? What do you think his overall motivations are as a professional?
I think off the floor, he wants to help it, you know, his community flourish. He wants to make changes. He wants to educate. He wants to, you know, help youth. I think he wants to help primarily youth of color. I think he just has a vision of the things he wants to do with his community, which I understand and I admire. On the floor, I think he wants to be one of the greatest, but I also think he wants to win. I think he enjoys playing in Boston, but I also think, you know, he understands it's a collective sacrifice, and he wants everyone to sacrifice collectively. So I do think that he wants to win the championship. I don't think it's a situation where the minute I get out of here, I just want to score 30 points and make an all-star team. I don't think he has that type of selfish motivation. I think at 26 years old, he's been in the league long enough to know that winners thrive in the NBA. Winners are revered in the NBA. Guys who score 30 points, you want to be, you know, hey, you want to be James Harden? Go ahead. You know, how much criticism James Harden's received throughout his career, and how many points he scored. You know, but he's walked away with no championships and nothing accomplished team wise. No appearances. In the NBA. One appearance in the NBA Finals when he was way back in 2011, Oklahoma City. So I think a lot of players see that. So I don't think Jalen's motivation is, I just want to be the guy, score 33 points a game, and win 48 games, losing second round of playoffs. I do think he wants to win in Boston. I think he's motivated. I think he is comfortable here in terms of, the team, the organization, and his relationship with Jason. I think that they get along. But I also think Jalen's a guy who's a constant thinker. He has other stuff off the court. He likes to travel. He kind of sees himself as worldly in terms of just his overall thinking. So that's always something going on, in addition to just being a ball player.
So we're talking to Gary Washburn of the Boston Globe on the Harbor One Hotline. And Gary, so as far as the team, are you as nervous as what's going on with this team? I think it's like as I am, and maybe some other people are, as far as just the way these games are ending, like just how they feel, and they constantly are talking about being disconnected and not being able to finish games. And now they're the third seed in the AFC, and sorry, in the NBA East.
Yeah, I mean, I do think obviously last year they played their best ball of the season at this particular time, and this year they're struggling. And it's not that they're struggling where they're getting thumped by opponents. They're losing games in the fourth quarter, blowing leads, unable to make the one or two final plays, kind of losing the same way. Yeah, that is personally, it's a concern for the long term, because you got to figure out what road you're going to take to the finals. If the road you're going to take is going to be a first-round series with potentially Miami, who's going to take some blood out of you, then Philadelphia, then Milwaukee. I mean, I don't know if this team's capable of doing that at this point. And they got to figure something out. And you could blame health, and you could say, well, when Robert Williams comes back, they'll be all fine. And when they get whole and guys get back to their, and Marcus Smart gets it, but they've got to get right and figure things out. And the thing about it is, they're not that far from being, like, they're not getting crushed every night. It's little things. So it's possible, right? But you don't want to have to figure these things out 10 games left of the season. So I think that's a concern. Let's see what happens. Let's see if they can get it together.
Do you think that this team thinks that they are just like a light switch team? We can flip the switch when it matters?
No, because, I mean, they don't have a title under their belt. They have the appearance in the finals, but they haven't done that before. I mean, you guys were around. I mean, I covered the 2010 Celtics, and that team finished the fourth seed, but you had, obviously, KG, Pearson, Allen, Rondo. Those guys kind of, Doc said, we just want to be healthy. That's all we want to do, be healthy. We'll accept whatever fate we get. And then they end up being fourth seed. They end up reaching the finals and probably in blowing that game six, not showing up, then obviously losing that game seven to the Lakers, which, to me kind of changed the legacy of the big three. If they had two titles, they'd be a lot more, I think, revered in terms of what they accomplished. But they did flip the switch. But that team was a veteran championship team. In this situation, I don't think that they're capable of doing that. I think that they got to figure some things out. Jason Tatum has to figure some things out right now. He's been, he's been poor since the All-Star break, since that 10-3-pointer performance in the All-Star game. I mean, 29% from three. He's kind of disappearing against the Jazz. They put this kind of college kind of defense against him and trapped him every time he got the ball. and then he's trying to force his way back. He's trying to force three-pointers to get himself going. He's going outside in instead of inside out in terms of his approach. So he's trying to get himself going from the three and hope that opens things up, but it's not. And so he hasn't been himself. Jalen, I think, and you guys refer to Jalen in some of his situations, Jalen's not being focused on in the fourth quarter. And he had 43 against Houston, and he had 25 against Utah, but he doesn't get the last shot. If he's got it going like that, why not go to him? Why not run a play for him? Why not put the ball in his hands when it's money time if Jason is struggling? They have the talent and the versatility. I think they need to use it. I think Missoula's got to start going to Derek White a little bit more. They've got to figure some things out. And I don't know if you can do that in the next 3 weeks, but that's there it is. It's right in front of them. I mean, they got guys, you guys know, they got games at Philadelphia and at Milwaukee in the next week or so. Let's see what happens.
Gary, you mentioned Joe Mazzulla. Season started, I think he was the biggest question on the team. Then they get off to that 21-5 start. He's the All-Star game coach. He gets the interim tag removed, and I think people settled in with, oh, this guy's doing a great job. Wow, they found their coach. And now it seems like there's more questions about how he's managing the team and how the team is performing, the little things they need to clean up. What are your views on Joe Mazzulla as he goes towards his first postseason as the head coach?
Oh, I think he's going through a first-year coach, and he's going through some ups and downs and some growing pains, and I think he's loyal to his guys, and I think he has some his ways that he wants to stick to, and I think he's trying to do that, but he's also making some mistakes and some kind of some curious moves with his rotations. And the problem, guys, I see is he doesn't have, like, they just lost Damon Stoudemire to Georgia Tech. Will Hardy's with the Utah Jazz. They don't have a veteran assistant on their staff anymore in terms of a guy who's played in the NBA. That's really important. And then for them to say, well, we're not considering adding to the staff. Like, there's plenty of guys out there who can give you an outside voice about what to do, what's going on, how to maybe mix some things up that could probably help you at this point in the season. I think it's kind of arrogant for the Celtics not to try to add to the staff. You can't lose a key assistant at this time of the season and then just say, hey, we're not going to replace them. And Joe needs probably another couple of fresh voices in there. You know, in addition to the voice he's done a fantastic job. I think, it might be fading his coach of the year candidacy. Who knows? I think it might be Mike Brown in Sacramento or I don't know who else. I think Brown's kind of going to run away with it. But I think he's done a good job. But now it's just these minor adjustments. And, he got out-coached against Utah. Will Hardy, who knew Tatum, put a defense on that the Celtics had a tough time figuring out.
But I feel like you're going to, after every loss, I do feel like, Gary, that that'll be what we say, that he got out-coached. And then you bring up an excellent point, like all the attrition in the coaching staff, like who on that staff is going to give him like the thumbs up, that's a good play? Or who on that staff would say, that's stupid, don't do it?
That's the thing, Chris. As you know, I mean, you can't lose. And we saw on the Patriots side, you lose all these guys who contribute. Your fabric is going to kind of break down a little bit. And, there's good guys in the Celtics staff, but you just literally lost one of your top assistants, a guy who's played in the league 13, 14 years, who's been in those wars. You lost that voice. And now you can call him on the phone, at night, and the players can talk to him still. But on the bench during a game, you need, a fresh voice. And, they're just going to keep going on with this current staff. And I just think Mazzulla has got to, kind of refigure some things out. And it could be a situation where, he does come up with some new plans. But to me, calling every final play for Jason – especially on nights like in Houston, like in Utah, where Jason has just not been effective, isn't winning you games. You got to do things that win you games. Forget egos. You got to play the guys who are going to win you games. So you can't think of egos or this guy's done this before. You're trying to win a game. You're trying to get to the championship. Then you can celebrate all you want, and egos don't matter. But you don't want to go home early, but, hey, you preserve the guy's egos.
Where do the Celtics rank in terms of talent in the NBA? Assuming Rob Williams and Marcus Smart and, you know, the core is healthy, where do they rank in pure talent?
I mean, I think in the top 3 to 4 team, I just think the other teams, I mean, I don't know, guys. You know, the Celtics went out, and their major move in this trade deadline was Mike Muscala, who has had his moments here and there but not played. You know, Milwaukee gets Jay Crowder. They get Goran Dragic. Like, the Bucks are still toying with their roster. The Sixers add, you know, guys like Dwayne Dedman. Like, they're still constantly moving their roster. Meanwhile, the Celtics still have an open roster spot, need rebounding, could use kind of a dirty work guy, and don't use it. It's like, why not? If you're, you know, why are you, like, I just always remember the 08 Celtics brought, you know, P.J. Brown off the street at the All-Star. Like, when you're searching for that combination, you'll bring guys in. If they don't play, they don't play. And then they sit on the bench and help you win a championship, maybe with just being a cheerleader. You accept that. The Celtics want to win but don't want to use this open roster spot. You know, Robert Williams is constantly in and out of the lineup, so you want to go with Luke Kornet as your big, or you want to go with a Grant Williams to the underside. Like, there's needs they have that can make them a more talented team, but they don't use them. So I think they're top 3 to 4 talent, but you look at the other teams that are competing, they're just as good and they're more cohesive and guys know their role. You look at the Bucks, and the Bucks play the same style every damn night, win or lose. They are who they are. The Celtics are still trying to find that identity.
Ooh, all right. That's Gary Washburn of the Boston Globe talking about the Boston Celtics. Gary, I appreciate it. Thanks for the time. Always a great insight, great knowledge on the Celtics. We'll talk to you down the road, all right?
Thanks, guys.
Hey there. I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.